Shane will be up here in just a minute. Don't get too excited. You'll be able to hear from him this morning. But I have just a few words that I wanted to bring from the shepherds before his sermon begins this morning. If you're a member of this congregation, you should have received a letter about 10 days ago with information about our plans to proceed with the selection of additional shepherds for this congregation and also the schedule for this to be accomplished. This is, we believe, a very important matter for this congregation, and for that reason we have asked for your prayers and for fasting. For at least the last 2 years, your current shepherds have been talking about this step. We asked the working group last year for their input on the subject, and they also concurred it was time to move in this direction. We think it's a very important step for the long-term health of the congregation. Beginning today, we have asked Shane to bring lessons concerning this important activity. I know many of you from your prior study and experience are very familiar with the biblical teachings on the work of shepherds, the personal characteristics of shepherds, and the responsibility of the congregation toward following the leadership of their shepherds. Others are coming to this perhaps not being very familiar with what Scripture has to say about this and with less background and knowledge. And we encourage everyone, though, to kind of look at it as a fresh subject, to be keenly attuned to what's said and to look at it through the eyes of Scripture. Shane will be preaching sermons on each of these areas of the personal characteristics of shepherds, the work of the shepherd, and the responsibility of the congregation. It's kind of human nature to feel a little bit apprehensive anytime change is discussed, because the potential for change makes us a little bit nervous. But your current shepherds implore you to listen closely to what he said from the pulpit, to study carefully on your own what the Bible teaches on the subject, to pray frequently and fervently for a positive outcome from this process. History of churches also tells us that times of change offer opportunity for discouragement and discord. We ask, therefore, that you also pray for a spirit of unity and peace when you speak to others about this topic, that you do so with a great deal of kindness and patient understanding, always keeping in mind that this is a church family matter. We are currently, I think everyone would agree, experiencing a strong season of cooperation and kingdom involvement from all our members, for which we are extremely grateful. I know that recently we have asked 12 men and women to step forward to take responsibility for various areas of ministry. They've done that. They're doing a tremendous job. We've just been through our kingdom assignment activity. You were here last week, you heard that, and certainly had to be encouraged by all the kingdom work that had been done by many members and the impact it's had on our community. We should all be grateful, praise God for his continued blessings. But at the same time, as Howard mentioned in his lesson this morning, be alert, for Satan. When things are going well, he likes to kind of raise his ugly head and attack things that are going well in God's kingdom. So we're so thankful for what's being done. We ask your continued prayers for this process. Pray for Shane as he brings us the lessons over the next few weeks. And one final note that we want to also announce this morning is at the conclusion of this shepherd selection process, which we expect to require about 2 months, your current shepherds plan to proceed with a reconfirmation process for those of us who are now serving. This will provide the congregation an opportunity to address your level of support for the current shepherds. And speaking to other church leaders and experts in the church, we have come to believe that this will be a healthy step for the congregation, and one that many churches are adopting. Thank you, and please be prepared to listen carefully and pray fervently. Thank you.
Well, as we enter into this,
you know, those lights right there on the line.
Yeah,
if you don't mind.
No.
Yeah. We got a train.
Yeah,
keep going.
More. I want y'all to be able to see me as much as possible. Okay. Well, Bob's the one who can't see up here. He can't see a thing. He just like, we're lucky we even sang anything this morning, to be honest with you. On that note, I do want to say, first of all, thank you very much to Bob. You do an awesome job leading singing, and I know how difficult that is to lead worship. It is it's very time-consuming to put all that together, and I appreciate the good job. We are blessed with some song leaders in our congregation, and I really appreciate that as a preacher. It's just such a blessing to get to follow those guys. Secondly, I do want to say one thing as we enter into this study is that our shepherds are wonderful, godly men whom I respect tremendously. And the work that they do on behalf of this congregation, honestly, could never be calculated. There is not one person could sit down and list all of the things that they do and that they're involved in and the issues that they have at any one time that are going on. And so for them, for Bill Perry and Ward Harder and Earl Price and for Dick Fuel, who recently took a break, and for Tom Dillingham, who has served as an elder, I just want to say that my appreciation is limitless for the job that you men do. And my respect and admiration, likewise. And I just want to take a minute and say thank you, not only for being instrumental in bringing my family here, but being instrumental in changing me as a preacher and making me better and slightly more organized, but definitely, definitely more spiritual. And that's the most important thing, and I appreciate that. When we think about the role... I didn't touch anything. When we think about the role or the idea of shepherding, of being an elder, and as we go through this process, there are a lot of images that come to mind when we think about the person that we need to be considering, or the person that would set themselves apart to be a leader. And there's a lot of images that we're going to be thinking about and looking for, and you know, maybe the kind of men that you would consider that this would make a great that's the guy you're looking for right there, you know. And the first thing is old, and maybe not that's the image that we need to have. Maybe there's another image in mind when we think about an elder or a shepherd, an overseer of the church, of the flock, of the group of Christians, the organization that we are. It's a very important role to play. It's a very important distinction that is made in the Bible, that when we talk about elders. And as Earl was saying, you know, there's a lot of tradition that goes along with who is an elder, who is a shepherd. There's a lot of scripture that goes along with it. The challenge for us is to separate the two and to really get to the point of, this is what we need in a leader. These are the people, these are the men that can lead. And not only these are the men who can lead, but these are the men that we can follow. Very important distinctions to be made. So this is not a subject that I enter into very lightly at all. This is not a sermon series that is one that we can just brush through and kind of move on. It's one that we can't forget. It's one that we really, really need to be about the business of studying and praying. And honestly, as Earl mentioned, fasting and meditating over what do you want for us? What do you want for these men? So instead of talking about what we've always thought a shepherd or an elder should be, Or maybe instead of bringing to mind, well, you know, the church I grew up in, this is, you know, we had, you know, Brother Smith or whoever, and when he would, that's the quintessential elder for me, and that's who I think of when I think of a shepherd or an elder. Instead of going back and thinking about all of the experiences we've had, we want to take a moment and just look at what Scripture says. Look at what's best for Highland Hills. Look at what direction we feel God is leading this congregation and who is going to take us in that direction. And it's no doubt it's going to be the men that we currently have. But who else? Who else among us is willing to lead spiritually? The office and the responsibility of shepherding, when we think about the roles and the responsibility of being a shepherd, it comes from Acts chapter 6, 3 through 4. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. And we're going to look at the very first distinction made when it talks about leadership in the church. Now, I'll give you a little history about Acts chapter 6. This is early on in the growth of the church. It's early on in the growth of the organization that is the disciples, the learners, those who are following, those who are growing in Christ, those who are trying to be the hands and the feet, the body of our Lord. Don't ever forget that. That's what we are about. When we're talking about shepherding and when we are selecting men to lead us as a congregation, we always have to remember that we are the body of Christ. We are the hands and the feet. We are the ministry of Jesus. We are the continuation of His 33-year ministry on this earth. That's our purpose. That's what we're about. So as that grew, as that got bigger, as more people came and as people experienced, remember in Acts chapter 2, and there were 3,000 added? See, when the church started, there were 12, and it was in a locked room upstairs, and, you know, Jesus even had to break in. But I mean, when it started, it was little more than just a handful of people. It wasn't hard to organize anything at that point, but as it grew and 3,000 were added, and then those were added daily, and the ministry started to get bigger and reach out, there became the need for something else to happen. Read with me in Acts chapter 6. Okay, we'll start in verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12, the apostles, the model for shepherding in the church, the men whom modern shepherds pattern their lives and their work and their commitment after, the apostles gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." The first distinction of the roles that we see are leaders who serve physical needs, who are very important. I mean, think about, you know, one of the things I love to ask, I've got some questions that I ask whenever I read Scripture. What does it say? What does it not say? What does it imply? What does it not imply? What, you know, walk, I like to walk into the room and to experience a conversation with these people where they say, you know, they're eating together. And what we talked about in our class, because in my Foundations of Faith class, we're talking about this very thing, about what it looks like to be an elder and what we should depend on them for and what they can depend on us for. But so when everyone's eating together and their service has taken place, when there's 12 people, if we just show up, the 12, and we're going to have a meal together, how hard is that to organize? Not at all. I mean, do you need to make a decision? Hey, where do you want the casserole? Where do you want the muffaladas? What do we, you know, hey, Bob, what do you think? Just put them over there. Okay, that's done. It's, you know. But when you've got thousands of people, maybe 100, the organization gets a little bit tedious. And so they come to these problems with physical needs. People got to eat. Service has to take place. And so we have problems. And the men that they went to said, okay, well, we can't neglect what we're doing to wait on tables. What they didn't say was, you know what? That food ministry is a little bit tedious. Let's just quit that. I guess, well, if we can't get along, if we can't, you know, if it's too much of a hassle, then let's just not do those. You see, the physical needs are important because that's the hands and feet of Jesus. That's what people experience. I mean, that's real. That's where they're at. The physical needs are not less. They're important. They didn't say, well, you know what, we need to cut the programs around here. So no, we've got to get that stuff done. And we do not want to do that without excellence. We do not want to do that poorly. We got to do that right. So physical needs are very important, and we need leaders to do those things. We need leaders to step up and to lead in physical needs and serving and in getting things done, and that's important. But there's also leaders who serve spiritual needs. And that's another distinction that they're making here. You know, a lot of times we look at this scripture for, you know, the role of the servant, of the deacons, of those who... But this is the window of opportunity for us to see what is the role and responsibility of the shepherd? And it's to lead spiritually. The question is, do we still make that distinction? Now, a lot of this is going to be preaching about our shepherds, but for just a second, indulge me to preach about us. You know why? You know, and it's not my opinion. This is a fact. I mean, if you want to say, oh, it's just your opinion, Shane. No. It's the fact. And if you think about it, pray about it, you'll agree with me. Here's the fact. You know why we're at this point where we need maybe to add elders? Because we, not them, we haven't done a good job of distinguishing these. I mean, we wear these guys out. Wear them out. With waiting tables. Not that that's not important. It's so important. Jesus was a servant. He taught us how to serve. But our ministry leaders, our deacons, our physical needs people have got to be there for them and take care of those things. I mean, we, and we'll get to this later, and there'll be a whole lot more than just me going off the reservation about us. Hebrews tells us, don't make their service difficult. These guys have got to be men of prayer and of ministry of the word. And if we, you know, they're not going to let the programs and the ministries here fail. It's not within them to let it happen. So if we don't step up and take care of those physical things, it wears them out. And maybe, and I'll throw this seed out, maybe, just maybe, if we do those things, they'll realize that prayer and the ministry of the word, albeit tiring, doesn't wear them out as quickly. And maybe the need is not as grave as we see. Back on the reservation, in this series of lessons, I just want to talk about the men serving those spiritual needs. And the reason for the distinction that is made, and your worship on the back, you'll see number one, the reason for the distinctions. It's important for us to, you know, as we talk about the roles and responsibilities of shepherds, it's not, you know, it's not only good enough for us to give them a list of this is what you guys ought to be doing. We'll do that. Don't worry. Ask them. They know. They got the list in triplicate and emails. It's not good enough just to say this is what these guys ought to be doing. This is what they ought to look like. This is what they ought to. We need to know why there's even that distinction made. The reason for the distinction is that people couldn't get along. I mean, if everybody was just serving each other and nobody's problem, I mean, but complaints are the reason for that distinction. And sadly, not a whole lot's changed. But really, complain. I mean, think about it. They're coming and telling on each other and saying, hey, the Grecians and the Hebrews, you know, the Hebrews are getting served first, and we don't like that. And so the reason is that people could not get along. Now, I know that's a completely new concept in the church. And you have to go way back to the first century to see an example of it. But that's the reason. And they said, guys, we've got to figure this out. We've got to be people who can. And so they offer a solution. They offer a solution to the physical problem that didn't involve them doing it. It just was a solution that involved other people stepping up and serving and leading and being the men and the women that God called them to be. See, the people that couldn't get along. And so in order for the spiritual leaders to lead spiritually, it took other leaders stepping up to take work off of them, to take table waiting off of those guys, so that they could be about the business of prayer and administering the word. I'll say this is one of the greatest needs in the administration of spiritual growth. Don't ever forget what we are about. We are about being the hands and feet, the body of Christ. We've got to be growing to look more and more and more like Christ. We've got to be growing spiritually. The greatest need in the body of Christ is for us to grow. And for this to happen, physical leaders have to do their jobs so that the spiritual leaders are free to do theirs. See, both services need to get done. We've got to grow spiritually, but we also have to serve physically. And those do overlap sometimes. But in order for the men that we select, in order for the men that God calls to be ordained in this place, to lead this ministry, in order for them to be effective, they have got to be able to do what it is that God has called them to do. So the next thing I want to look at is not only the reasons, but the responsibilities. This is where the rubber really meets the road. This is what they're defining here. And we will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. The first responsibility that these men have is to be men of prayer. If you're looking to think who is a shepherd, who is shepherding this congregation, who when we're looking around to see, you know, who's fulfilling this role, who are the men of prayer? Who are the men who lead us in prayer? Who are the prayer warriors who are out there that are calling and saying, you know what, I've been praying for you. I've been praying about this thing. You know, who are the men of prayer? Maybe not captains of industry. Maybe not, maybe not the heads of state, but whose heads are bowed? Who's on their knees before the Lord? It's the ministry of prayer that makes a difference. Not only prayer for themselves, Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me over to Romans chapter 8. In talking about praying for themselves, the shepherds being men of prayer in verse 26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with us with groans and words that cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. That passage, I love that passage as it describes an experience of wanting to be in the presence of God in order to be changed, in order to just seek out God's will. Men who pray for their own spirituality, so that they will know the will of God, so that they will know what direction the congregation is to go. Not only prayer for themselves, but for those that they are leading. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, "For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and the flock for which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." The importance of shepherding that flock, the importance of being concerned, of watching over, of praying for each and every one of the people that they are charged with. And in Matthew 20, 2 Corinthians 13, 7, Matthew 20 is coming up. Get there. 2 Corinthians 13. "Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong, Not that people will see that we have stood the test, but that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. You're talking about spiritual leaders that are praying for those that they are leading spiritually, and they're so concerned with the spiritual well-being, with the actions and the attitude, with the heart and the mind of these people. We're praying that you do nothing wrong. These are the kind of men that lead spiritually, that are concerned. Yeah, the physical needs are important, but they're men of prayer for themselves, men of prayer for those that they are leading. Praying that we change and become more like God, praying that we do nothing wrong. Not only are they men of prayer, but they're, he said, we've got to be to give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. What does that mean, ministry of the Word? The first thing that we can look at is the ministry of teaching. You know, when you look later on and it talks about the characteristics of those who lead spiritually, the ministry of teaching in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, it talks about a man who is approved by God and entrusted, men entrusted with the gospel. Think about the reality of being entrusted with the gospel. Obviously, we all are. We all have responsibilities, but especially for those leading the congregation of God's people. They're entrusted with the good news, to administer the good news of Christ. Not to administer the traditional news, but the good news of Jesus Christ. Not to administer the comfortable, what we want out of a Savior, but the sometimes uncomfortable reality of the changes that the gospel makes in the lives of His people. These have got to be men who are bold, men who are willing to stand in the gap, men who are willing to say things that are popular and say things that are not popular. The ministry entrusted the good news of the gospel is accountability. Men who are entrusted with that gospel. Write down Luke chapter 11, 38 and 42. It's the famous passage where Martha and Mary are getting into it about physical needs versus spiritual needs. Martha's in the kitchen, Mary's at the foot of Jesus. What's the good shepherd doing? Was the good shepherd in there in the kitchen making sure all the dishes were done and everything? And you know, we've got this in our mind. Oh, and we love our shepherds because they serve. They're the foot washingest guys you'll ever meet. But the good shepherd had people sitting at his feet. He was ministering the gospel to them on the physical needs. And you read that passage and said, look, Martha, Mary has chosen, you know, not that what you're doing bad, but this is, you know, more important. The ministers of the gospel. In Matthew 20 and verse 20, Jesus commands us all to teach all that I have taught you and command those to do what I have done. Ministering the word is all about ministering the ministry of teaching. The ministry of taking the gospel that they're entrusted with and pouring it into the lives of those around them. The shepherd seeks out opportunities to do that. The shepherd seeks out opportunities to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ and also to remind those who are already here about the good news. And to help them walk deeper and deeper and deeper into that very good news. Those are men who are leading spiritually. And not only is the ministry of the word the ministry of teaching, but it's the ministry of example. Because the word, if not lived out, is not alive. In Acts 20 and 28, let me get there real quick and read that. For I have not hesitated, and we've already talked about it, keep watch over yourselves and the flock. Be shepherds of the church of God. It's the ministry of example. He's saying, guys, people are going to be looking at you. People are going to be watching you closely. People are going to be modeling their life after you. Watch over yourselves. Be the kind of men that others can look to. It's the ministry not only of teaching, but the ministry of the Word. And here's a very important passage, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 11. This is going to take a second to sink in, I think, for some of us. It certainly did for me. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 1, we'll read down to verse 11. Now remember who's writing this. Remember, this is Peter. This is walking on water, denying Christ, healing people. Peter, the apostle, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. I mean, here's the reality of it, is that you hold the same position as Peter and the other apostles. I mean, that's the model. That's the magnitude of what we're dealing with here. Now, was Peter perfect? Were the other apostles? No, they weren't. Now, I'm not saying that everything apostles did and had, and I'm not making an absolute comparison. But Peter says, what you are, I too am. I, a fellow elder. I make this appeal as a fellow elder. This isn't a figurehead position. This isn't an also-ran kind of thing. This isn't something that should be taken lightly. This is a man who is responsible for leading people into a relationship and through with the Lord. Don't tell me Peter didn't take that seriously. Did he do some things wrong? Absolutely. But he gave his life for the Lord and for the church. As a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also share in the glory to be revealed, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being an example to the flock. Being an example to the flock. He doesn't say being a manager of the flock. He doesn't say being the number one servant of. He said being an example in all things Christ-like, in the things of the, in Philippians 2, your attitude should be that of Christ. In all of those things, be an example. Be shepherds. See, this is out front living. This is living life where everyone can see. And it's not the CEO of a company. It's not the commander of a military brigade, troop, platoon. It's not. It isn't the leader of a civic organization. It's much bigger. It is much, much bigger. And as we go through this process, as we go through this spiritual process of looking within to distinguish men who are spiritual leaders, those who are selected, remember this, men of prayer. Men who are ministers of the Word. Those who are serving, remember this. Men of prayer. Ministers of the Word. Physical needs are important. And they will get done. But they can't at the expense of prayer and ministry of the Word. I believe that God has great things in store for Highland Hills. I believe that regardless if we ever have to expand to seat more people, I believe that regardless if we grow in number at all, I know this. Highland Hills will grow spiritually. And Tullahoma will be forever changed because of the people in this room right now. And the spiritual leaders of that group of people have got to be men of prayer and men who are ministers of the word. We're looking for elders and not waiters. Men who pray for themselves and pray for their church. Men who teach and who are not afraid to live out front. Over the next few months, if we as a congregation, if we as a flock are not praying about this, if we are not seeking God in this, if we are not fasting and meditating and studying and more prayer, and if we are not allowing God to lead us, then He won't. And the change that has to take place won't happen through us. If we don't get behind our shepherds and go in the godly direction that they are going, the change in Tullahoma will be forever changed, but it won't be through us. Because God's will be done. He'll just find other people that are willing to follow godly men and get it done. So there's a charge for our shepherds and for us and for those who may be selected to lead. And that is to do just that, lead us spiritually. Before we sing our invitation song, I'm going to invite you to stand and pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for our shepherds that you have brought to us. I thank you for Bill, for his tender heart, for his love of people and his love of you. I thank you for his patience and for his wisdom. God, I thank you for Earl and just the compassion that he has for the people of this congregation. God, I thank you for just the wisdom that he has. And God, I thank you for the way that he has to the ability to hold me accountable, and the way that he has the ability to administer the needs of a congregation. God, I thank you for his wisdom and for the charge that you've placed on his life. And God, I also thank you for Ward. God, I thank you for his lighthearted spirit, just the joy that he is to be around. I thank you for his patience and for his wisdom. God, I thank you for his vision that he can see more in your people than sometimes they can see in themselves. God, for each one of these men, I thank you for the legacy that they have worked so hard to create here and to leave here in your honor and for your glory. God, I pray for wisdom as a congregation as we enter into this process. And I pray for the men that may be asked to serve alongside these men of faith. I pray that they will have the humility, that they will have the submission and the willingness to come alongside these men and to serve the spiritual needs of this congregation. And God, for your people here, for the disciples and the followers here, I pray that you would give us a spirit of humility, a spirit of submission, that you would give us a spirit of cooperation, and you would give us a work ethic to meet physical needs, to allow our shepherds to be out front praying and out front ministering your word. God, please don't let us make waiters out of your spiritual leaders. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your guidance as we go through this. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name I pray. Amen.